So Lent did not begin very well for me. I had decided before Lent that I was going to give up meat for 40 days. So abstaining from meat all of Lent. So I also decided that my Fat Tuesday was indeed going to be fat. So Monday is my day off. I decided to go and get myself the best lamb shank possible. And Monday evening I cooked it. And Fat Tuesday really began on Monday night. I dug into it, right? I'm not sure what went wrong, but Tuesday morning I was sicker than a dog. My Fat Tuesday was anything but fat. In fact, I was telling everybody my Ash Wednesday begins a day earlier than Ash Wednesday did. And I think for my sins, God decided to strike me a day before he did everyone else, right? But humor aside, as I was praying what Lent should mean for me this year, I was already planning that though I wanted to abstain from meat for 40 days, that this Lent was not going to be about giving up things. I don't know if you remember this, but I said this in my Ash Wednesday homily, that I think focusing on giving up for Lent really trivializes Lent. It makes Lent really small compared to what Lent really is all about. See, I think Lent is about transformation. Lent is about trying to become more Christ-like. Trying to become more Christ-like, that brings us right to today's gospel readings. No other passage in Scripture better captures the essence of Lent more than the 40 days that Jesus spent in the desert. Now, today's gospel reading tells us that the Spirit of the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the desert to be tempted. It's very clear. That's what Matthew says. But even though that's what Scripture says, the 40 days of Jesus is about much more than just being tempted in the desert. And I want to draw on some of those deeper message of Jesus's time in the desert, and perhaps draw the practical implications from Jesus' time in the desert for our Lent to be a little more meaningful. So my three practical implications will focus on that. So here's the first point that I'm trying to make. It is very recently that it struck me that even though Jesus' temptations began in the desert, the temptations end on the top of a mountain. So he's no more in the desert. Now in the Bible, the mountain is God's meeting place with human beings. The mountain is the place for God's revelation. It's no surprise then that the last temptation on the mountain has got to do something with worship. The devil asks Jesus to worship him on the top of a mountain, which is God's meeting place with human beings, which is the place of God's revelation. And of course, Jesus banishes Satan away and says, "Get away from me, Satan." But here is the deeper point of the story. If Jesus had succumbed to the first temptation, which is to transform stones into bread. If Jesus had succumbed to that first temptation, he would have never made it up to the mountain for the third temptation. And this can be applied to the rest of the life of Jesus. See, Jesus' life also ended on the top of a mountain. Just as Jesus' temptation ended on the mountain, Jesus' life also ended on a mountain. Calvary was the greatest revelation of God. That is where God and human beings met. That is where they were reconciled. If Jesus would not have gotten up to the mountain of Calvary, then there would be no salvation for us. But Jesus would not have gotten up to the top of Mount Calvary if he did not deal with his temptations right for the rest of his life, or the life before that. In other words, Jesus is using these temptations to get closer to God. The first temptation, and the second temptation, and the third temptation on the top of a mountain. The practical implication for us and for Lent for us is, I think, this. Whether we want it or not, temptations will come our way. We are human beings. If Jesus was tempted, what about us? One way to make Lent more meaningful is to look at our temptations as opportunities for spiritual growth. Jesus deals with three temptations, and he deals with the first two so well that his third temptation becomes a way where he's on the top of the mountain with God. Angels came and ministered to him there. Instead of looking at our temptations as a problem, maybe we can look at our temptations as an opportunity to transform ourselves, to get closer to God, to get on the top of a mountain, to become more like Christ. Secondly, the question I ask after reading the story of the temptation of Jesus is, what if Jesus had given in? Yes, he did not, thank God. But what if Jesus had given in? See, I think we should read today's gospel in the context of today's first reading and today's second reading. Let me begin with the second reading. Here's what Paul says. There's a contrast that Paul is drawing, right? Paul says, through one man, sin entered the world, and through sin, death. And thus death came to all men in as much all sinned. We heard that story in today's first reading. Adam and Eve and their fall, that was the first sin. However, Paul ends today's readings with these words. He says, For just as through the obedience of one man the many were made sinners, so through the obedience of one the many will be made righteous. The obedience of Jesus Christ. So Paul is talking about Christ, who in, by his obedience to God, his rejection of Satan in the desert and on the cross, made salvation possible for us. So here's, I think, what the deeper message of this passage is. Both Adam and Eve's choice to sin and Jesus' choice to reject sin, they both had huge implications. Adam sinned, we're all done. Jesus rejected sin, we're all saved. two people's actions, look at the implication, the impact it had. So here's the practical implication for us for Lent. Whether we give into temptation, like Adam and Eve did, or whether we triumph over temptation, like Jesus did, has huge implications for us and those around us. No sin is a private act. Even the most private sin affects the church, affects our family, and affects us. At the same time, our acts of holiness, even the most private acts of holiness, have huge impact. They affect the church in a good way. They affect our families, and they affect us. So my hope is that both you and I, during Lent, can train ourselves to be like Christ, so that for the rest of the year, when Easter is over, that we and our lives will be such that they will have positive and good impact for those around us. So sin and holiness, giving into sin, giving into temptation or not, we've got to really think about it seriously, because they affect us and those around us. And thirdly, I ask another question. What did Jesus do in the desert? Unfortunately, Scripture does not give us too much detail of what happened in the desert. The Gospel tells us that he was led by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil, but the temptations are an account of what happened after the initial 40 days. Scripture tells us that afterwards he was hungry. He fasted for 40 days, afterwards he was hungry, and the tempter approached him. But what happened during those 40 days? Really, we have no idea. Scripture does not give us any detail of what happened in the first 40 days. The only thing we know is that he fasted. But maybe, perhaps the beginning of today's scripture offers us just a little clue. It's my guess. I'm not sure this is what happened, but it's my guess. Scripture says, at that time Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert. See, because Jesus was as human as he was divine, he was not without the freedom to give in to temptations. If he chose to, Jesus could sin. He had that freedom to make a choice that's contrary to God's will. So I think that during those 40 days, Jesus took his time to completely align his spirit with that of the Holy Spirit. This would be crucial. And unless his spirit could be in complete alignment with God's Holy Spirit, unless his will is in complete alignment with God's will, salvation would not happen. If the work of salvation must be accomplished, Jesus must so align his spirit with God's Holy Spirit that his humanity would not become a stumbling block for our salvation. And I think for us, this is a great lesson for Lent. Lent is not merely about giving up stuff. Lent is about getting the big picture. Lent is about getting our spirit to align with God's Holy Spirit. Lent is about getting our spirit so much in alignment with the Holy Spirit that when Lent is over, we can deal with temptations in the way Jesus dealt with them. Lent is about preparing our lives for the saving power of God. And this is so different than what sometimes I do, which is if I give up meat for Lent, Easter is the time to overindulge and make up for the 40 days that we give up stuff for. And Jesus teaches us something completely different. So as my Fat Tuesday taught me, Lent is more than about giving up food and drink, or about food and drink. It's about becoming more Christ-like. But today, as we come to celebrate this Eucharist, actually there is food and drink here. There's the body and blood of Christ. Today we are not fasting. Today we are going to receive the food and drink that Jesus has prepared for us. On this first day of Lent, the first Sunday of Lent, let us receive this food and drink, because this is divine food. This is the life of God within us. This is where the Holy Spirit of God becomes so alive in us. And let us go from this church today back into the world to be tempted, but not without the Spirit of God in us or the life of God in us. During this Lent, may we become more like Christ. During this Lent, may we be on the mountaintop. During this Lent, may we become closer to God. People of God said,